while we're getting started, I'll just tell you, just visiting with this gentleman, Mike.
Yes.
Mike is from Amarillo, and I was talking about when I was with Halliburton, living out of Pampa, Texas. And this has a little bit to do with the whole thing about memory, but if Reader's Digest has a story that, or a section that my most unforgettable character. And the most unforgettable character in my life was when I was working for Halliburton in Pampa. And we went out to do a special job for this customer out by Skellytown, which was between Pampa and Borger. And I'm trying to make this quick, but I'm driving Halliburton car, and at that time, everybody in the oil field knew Halliburton. It was red and gray. And so we had our red and gray trucks and everything else. They were already on the location. And when I pulled up, and also the gentleman who was a district engineer from Hayes, Kansas, was there as well, and he was driving his car. And they had brought a special tool down from Kansas that we had not used in the Texas Panhandle at that time, and he was going to help us get started with that. So as we pull up there, we're standing right beside our cars, and the customer, and this was a family-owned oil company, came up, and he said, "I don't think I met you guys, have I?" I said, "No, I sure haven't." I said, "I'm John Brock from Pampa, and I'm Harold Boone, and where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Hayes, Kansas." "My goodness, all the way down here from Hayes, Kansas. Hmm." He said, "Now, who are you with?" And of course, we're standing right by these Halliburton. Yeah. I said, "Well, we're with Halliburton." He said, "Oh, Halliburton, that's a good outfit. Well, we give Halliburton a lot of work, you know." Well, we thought that was a little strange. So we're checking out the location and seeing how everything is hooked up like it's supposed to be and what have you. And probably wasn't 10 minutes later, this guy comes up to us again. He says, "I don't think I met you guys, have I?" And so, believe me, we went through this. John Brock, Harold Boone, you know, Pampa, Hayes, Kansas, you know. Now, who are you with? Halliburton, you know. How good Halliburton? We really strange. So I had to leave in a little bit. Went to go over and check another location. And when I came back, in about an hour and a half, this guy came up to me again. And he said, "I don't think I've met you, have I?" And I said, "No, you sure have." And this is right in front of Harold. Harold was just shaking his head. I said, "I'm John Brock. I'm from Pampa, and I'm with Halliburton." "Well, boy, you know, Halliburton," and so on and so forth. So we're kind of finishing up. Our trucks are leaving the location, what have you. And he said, "Now, what do you do with Halliburton?" I said, "Well, I'm an engineer." And he said, "Engineer." And he told me what his degree was and where he went to school, and I'll not share that with anybody. But anyway, he said, "Do you have a card?" I said, "I might want to consult with you sometime." I said, "I sure do." And so I gave him my card. Well, my name is spelled J-O-N, John. He looked at me and he said, "Joe Brock, Joe Brock, Joe." And I said, "No, sir, that's John Brock." He said, "Well, by goodness, it sure is John Brock, John Brock, John Brock." And I said, "Well, listen, I sure appreciate your using Halliburton on this this job and hope you'll call us back on your next one." And he said, "Okay, Bob." So does that ring a bell? Yeah. All right. Older you get, he wasn't that old, I'll tell you. But the guy had a problem of some sort, so bless his heart. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for your word and for its application to our lives. Lord, I pray that you'll just bless our time together. Lord, I'm sure that we're at different areas of experience. Some perhaps even here have never even attempted to hide your word in their hearts. We pray, God, that they will be encouraged and motivated to begin today, Lord, the lifelong habit of memorizing your word. And Lord, for those of us that have been doing this for a while, I just pray, God, for encouragement. And Lord, that you'll just help us, God, to more deeply commit ourselves to the discipline of scripture memory. Father, we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I beg your pardon. Okay, thank you. Thank you. You're a good man. In the bulletin that you have advertising this, it talks about scripture memory, the quickest way to get God's word into your heart. And I originally heard that from my spiritual father. And he was trying to encourage me to hide God's word in my heart. And he used that phrase, put it that way, John, I promise that if you'll just take the time to memorize one little verse of Scripture at a time, it's the quickest way to get God's Word into your heart. And I'm telling you, that was about 35 years ago. I don't mean to stand up here before you and tell you that I've just been memorizing a verse a day for the last 35 years or whatever, but I will tell you this, that what he told me was true. And if you have not had the glorious experience of hiding God's Word in your heart, I just hope and pray that as a result of our time here this afternoon, that you will get started. You know, when Dick, that's my spiritual father, he's with the Lord today. But when he was trying to encourage me to do this, I really didn't see the benefit of it, to be honest with you. I had deluded myself into thinking that I was above average in intelligence, and I've since discovered that that's not true. And that I felt like that while he was wasting time memorizing one little verse of Scripture, that I could read, you know, volumes and retain it and all this other malarkey. And the way the Lord really brought this home to me was an experience I had. And I had just known the Lord about 6 months. And we were living in Wichita, Kansas at the time. And my wife and I attended a navigator conference at Glen Eyrie in Colorado Springs. And one afternoon, some of the men there had the wild idea that like to go do some cold turkey evangelism. Well, you know, I knew and loved the Lord Jesus, and I was grateful that he had saved me, and I knew that I needed to be a witness. And more or less my pride, I think, got me involved with this, but I went along with these guys, and we went down to Manitou Springs, Colorado, just on the west side of Colorado Springs, right at the foothills of the mountains. And we paired off two by two, and I was with a doctor from Salina, Kansas, and bless his heart, he was about as ill-prepared as I was to do this. And we were going to take 1 hour. This is just going to be for 1 hour. And I'm telling you, that was the longest hour of my life. Have any of you ever done any cold turkey evangelism? Okay. Here we are. We started off at a miniature golf course there. And I didn't know where to start. I didn't know what to say. I just knew that I loved Jesus. And that, you know, one thing about that experience, just looking around as to where to start, it dawned on me that every person here is a candidate for the gospel. 2 Peter 3:12 says that the first verse I was going to share with you. Well, 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. All men to be saved. And so there we were, you know, not knowing where to start. And we'd tried a time or two, and people started trying to shun us and get away from us and one thing and another. And I just thought, this is awful. So we went to another location. We went to a park area there. And I remember seeing this cowboy-looking fellow sitting there on a park bench. And we probably stared at him for about 15 minutes before we went up and said anything to him. And so I walked up there, and all I could think of to say was, excuse me, sir, are you a Christian? And he kind of cursed a little bit, and he said, why, blankety blank. He said, my cousin's a Southern Baptist preacher in Oklahoma. I said, well, praise the Lord. You know, what do I know? And that was about the extent of my cold turkey evangelism for that hour. It was awful. We got back to Glen Eyrie, and everybody was sharing their experiences and so forth. And lo and behold, there had been some people had actually come to Christ that afternoon. Well, I told them, I said, let me tell you something. This is well and good, but I am never going to do this again. Now, when I get back to Wichita, I will witness for Christ in my environment, but I am never going to do this again. Well, this was a real watershed moment for me. And one of the men there was from Omaha, Nebraska, and he was a trained and equipped disciple. His name was Tom. And Tom said, John, I'll tell you what, I'll go back down there tomorrow, and I want you to go with me, and all you have to do is just watch and pray. You don't have to say a word. And I really appreciated that. I ended up, we go back down to the same park. And as we're walking into this park, we walk across kind of a footbridge. And there were, at this time, what I'd call, this is back during the Vietnam War and all the rest of this, in the early 70s. And there were four, what I'd call hippies, two boys and two girls, laying across this bridge. Of course, I'm looking around for some people to talk to, you know, for Tom here. And well, he walked right up to them. And he said, excuse me, he said, I'm Tom Ballman from Omaha, Nebraska. And this is John Brock from Wichita. So we're attending a Christian conference up here north of town. And just taking some time out this afternoon to talk to people about Jesus Christ. Would you have a few minutes to talk to us? And lo and behold, they said, sure. I couldn't believe it. You know, they stood up. And so Tom began explaining the gospel to them and sharing appropriate verses and what have you. And whenever they had a question, he would answer them with scripture. And I'm telling you, it was just so perfect the way God would use his word to address the issue one after the other. And so when he got through the gospel presentation, he asked, he said, if I were a genie and I could grant you any wish that you'd wish, what would it be? And one of the young men said, it'd be for world peace. And Tom says, well, you know, it's interesting you say that. He says, in John 16:33, Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And folks, I stood there and watched three of those four kids accept Christ right there on that bridge. Now, I'm kind of hard-headed, thick-skinned, and all the rest of that. But God really used that to get through to me, to show me that I needed some help and that I needed to become more equipped to be a more effective witness for Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you, I learned through experience what Dick said, that about hiding the word one little verse at a time is the quickest way to get God's word into your life. Just very quickly, let me just say this. I remember one time leading a scripture memory class in a church, this ministry team that I was a part of, we would be invited into different churches to do this. And this particular church, there could have been some doctrinal issues that could have sprung up, and I was a bit concerned about that. But the pastor, young man, he said, I'll tell you, he was going to commit with his members to go through this together. And he said, now, John, you're in charge, and I'm just going to keep my mouth shut, and I'm just going to do the work and what have you. Well, we'd been at this a few weeks when one day he said, I can't stand it. I have got to say something. And I thought, uh-oh, you know, I'd cross some doctrinal line or something. And he said that my father was a pastor. He said, I've been to seminary. I've studied the Hebrew. I've studied Greek and, you know, been in the pastorate now for a few years and so on. He says, but these 12 little old verses of scripture in my heart have done more to affect my life than all of that. And I'm telling you, it was just amazing. You know, I think about my mother. My mother was saved in what years ago, this is in an oil field community down at Cox City, Oklahoma, just out east of Rush Springs. And it was what they called a Brush Arbor Revival, where they'd, I don't know if you all know what that is or not. Anyway, they just put up an old brush thing that they'd get out there under this at night and just this enclosure, so to speak. And that's where they would have their revival. And that's where my mother was saved. Well, mother was nearly 70 years old. And I was leading a scripture memory class at that time in our church down in Duncan. And this was pretty intense. You memorize three verses a week, and you do Bible study, and, you know, all this, 72 verses, word perfect, and, you know, just a high standard here. And mother said, I'm going to do this. I want to do this. And I told her, I said, now, mother, now I'm all for it, you know, but I said, I'm not going to cut you any slack. You know, I expect you to set the pace in here. And boy, she set her jaw, and I'm telling you, she did. And I was just so proud of her. Well, after a month or two. And just the word was just flowing from her. Just, you know, and she came to me and she was almost angry. She said, "Why is it that I've known the Lord for 40 years and no one has taught me anything like it?" Because we were also teaching her how to have a quiet time. You know, just the basics, the fundamentals of walking with the Lord. And, you know, I just know that there are so many out there just like her. She always felt kind of dumb spiritually. You know, that she just didn't have a lot to offer. And then when she started getting into the Word and the Holy Spirit started applying that Word to her life, I'm telling you, it was just wonderful. In fact, when she was 73, she came to me and she said, "They've asked me if I'd think about teaching a class. What do you think about that?" And I said, "Mom, I think you're better prepared than a lot of folks." And she took on the oldest group of women in the church there. And just loved them until. But really turned her life around. I remember her, she had a clock that shined the time on the ceiling. You ever seen those? Yeah, and it was a digital type thing. And excuse me for that. But she. One night she said, she looked up and she saw 1:10, Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing and so forth. So, anyway. Well, let me give you this. Okay. Now here's what we came to talk about. If I can get some help. Whoop, oh, here I go. I'm doing it. There you go. If you could give me a hand, please. I don't know what this came out of.
I think that's what it came out of.
Out of here? Okay, mic. There we go. We're back. Okay. What's that? Yeah, I sure do. I'm unidirectional. Thank you very much. Okay. Why memorize Scripture? Have you sometimes hesitated to give a positive witness for Christ simply because you were afraid and you would be unable to answer from the Scriptures the questions which you might be asked? You know, we're commanded in Scripture to hide the Word of God in our heart. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. But it shall be in thine heart." In what ways does God's Word apply to us? Just how can the Bible help us personally? And here are just a few of the ways. Okay, God's Word is the means of our salvation. You know, without the Word of God, you wouldn't know what your relationship was to Him through Jesus Christ, would you? You know through the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." And folks, I'll be sharing a lot of verses with you, and not to show off, but hopefully to demonstrate and encourage you as well to take this on as a lifelong habit. Isaiah 55:11, God says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." You know, that has helped me so many times, particularly in witnessing situations, to know that it's not up to my intellect or my cute arguments or anything else. It's the incorruptible seed. It's the Word of God. And let me quickly say this, too, that in sharing Scripture with people, now I'm sharing book, chapter, and verse with you because I think you care and you'd be interested to know where it might be and you might want to jot it down. Maybe this is something you'd memorize at some point down the line. But when sharing in an office environment or with a pagan, you can share Scripture without sharing book, chapter, and verse. I found this to be true when I was with Halliburton. We used to live in France. And I had responsibility for operations in Africa and throughout Southern Europe. And I found with different cultures and what have you, the Word of God is the Word of God. It is truth. Job 12:11 says, "Just as my mouth tastes good food, so my mind tastes truth when I hear it." And I've seen this with men talking about the husband-wife relationship or about raising children or whatever, sharing the Word of God with people in other cultures. And boy, I mean, it's just right spot on. And so, it's God's promises that His Word will not return void. It provides the food for the Christian's growth. 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so ye be, that ye have found that the Lord is faithful. And Acts 20, 32, Paul said last time that he was going to see the brethren from Ephesus there. And he says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I remember one time I'd been through a Dale Carnegie course, and I was going through a second time assisting the leader as what they call a graduate assistant. And I kind of looked at the course from a different perspective. And by the way, I just think it's a wonderful thing. If you've not taken the Dale Carnegie course, I'd recommend it to you. But don't take it for the reason that so many of the people indicated that they were taking it for. And that was, as I was looking at their enrollment forms, why are you enrolling in this class? Many of them put down to get more joy out of life. Well, I'll tell you, take it to learn all sorts of things about getting along with people and all the rest of it. But joy comes from the Word of God. Joy comes from our relationship with Him. Jeremiah 15, 16 says, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts. It is our weapon against temptation. Ephesians 6, 16 and 17, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And this is something else that I would just encourage you to. And a lot of these lessons I've learned the hard way, is it just tying into somebody with the Word and just quoting and just beating them like with a club. No, it's a sword. Or if you please, it's a surgeon's knife. Be careful how you use and apply the Scriptures. You understand what I'm saying? You know, it's like the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees could quote the Bible to you. They'd memorized a lot of it, but the problem was about 18 inches. They had it here, but they didn't have it here.
That's right.
And that's what we want to encourage you to do. This is as a weapon against temptation. I always appreciate Gene Warr saying that 1 Corinthians 10:13 is such a good weapon, a good verse for temptation. He said, particularly young men, we see us young men see a pretty girl walking down the street, and maybe you start having some thoughts that you shouldn't be having.
Right.
Well, what you do is just look away and quote 1 Corinthians 10:13. Is that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will also with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now that verse is so long that by the time you get through it, she's going to be well on down the street, around the corner. You don't have to worry about it. That's right. That's right. Weapon against temptation. What did Jesus do in Matthew 4 when he was tempted? He quoted the Word of God. As it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That came from Deuteronomy, and so on. It is the main key to finding God's will. Psalm 48, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. In fact, just you probably know this, Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, when you're in the dark, you need to see immediately where that next step would be. You could step on a serpent or a scorpion or something that you fall into a hole. A lamp unto my feet, but it's also a light unto my path. And that's what God's word will be to us. It is the means of an effective witness for Jesus Christ. Yeah, 2 Peter 1:16, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. That literally what we have here is an eyewitness account of Jesus Christ and what he did on this earth. It equips us to counsel others. Isaiah 50:4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. You know, I just, as I've thought about this too, I've added just a few more. This, one of the fellows in the last, in your workshop, on intimacy, with God, shared with us, from Jeremiah 20:9. And let me tell you about a fellow that I knew. This was a guy that, we were, very much involved in a ministry together down in Duncan, Oklahoma. And this fellow came to me one time. We were in Bible study together. And he said, John, I want you to pray for me. He said, I'm in a situation at work. He said, there's a woman there, one of his employees, that's coming on to him. And my advice to him was, run for your life. Get out of there. Either you or she's got to, you know. And he said, well, you know, just pray for me and, you know, I'll try to seek God's will in this and blah, blah, blah. And make a long story short, she got him. And he ended up losing his family and lost his job and all the rest of this. And a few years later, he called me and wanted me to come see him. And he was just very repentant. He was trying to get out of that situation. And he had confessed this sin to the Lord and was repenting and made steps to get this woman out of his life and so forth. And he's walking with the Lord today, with a limp, I might add. But he's walking with the Lord today. But one of the things that he told me was based on this Jeremiah 20:9, where Jeremiah said, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah said that. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. You know. And that's what my friend said, literally pulled him back from the precipice, was the word of God that was in his heart. And that's practical, and that's the real stuff. It can prepare us to teach. I'll tell you, I'm not teaching a Sunday school class right now, but in times past when I've had that responsibility, and I'd start preparing a lesson, I couldn't keep up with what the Holy Spirit would just flood to my mind relating to the lesson. I mean, it's just, and sometimes, you know, maybe I didn't spend as much time out here, but, well, I feel like I'll just be spending 5 hours doing this or longer or whatever. And when it dawned on me one day, I've been putting in my time for over the years. You see what I'm saying? Putting the word in there. And see, the Holy Spirit can't draw on it if it's not there. But when you put it in your heart, the Holy Spirit can draw on it. And the cross-references and the things that can come to mind are just very powerful. It can prepare us to teach, just like I was sharing with you about my mother. And I praise the Lord for that. One final thing that comes to mind, this is just from my own personal experience, is that having the Word of God in our heart, it helps us, it eliminates or frees us from worry. Do any of you ever have any trouble with worry? Boy, I have. And not just too far back in my life. And that God has provided verses of Scripture to me that have really pulled me through.
1 Peter 5:7, the Amplified says, cast the total weight of your anxiety on him, for you are his personal concern.
His personal concern. Amen. That's right. Thank you, Fred. I remember I was with Halliburton, as I told you, 29 years longer than most of you have been alive, I can see. And I think when I left the company, I might have jumped ahead of the Lord. I left kind of on, you know, time. I'm bailing out. I'm getting out of here. And even as I was walking to the parking lot after my retirement party, I thought, what have I done? 53 years old. I wasn't sure what my next step was going to be and what have you. And I just really fretted over that for quite a while and even worried about, you know, financially it was a terrible decision. But I want to tell you something. God gave me a verse that literally kept me on track during that time. And it's Psalm 71, 20, 21. It says, though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. You know, and I just praise God for that. There are other men along the way that I've been able to share that with that have gone through similar experiences, and it's really been a comfort for them. I don't have it written down here, but I just, in fact, as I think about it now, when I was asked by our previous governor, Governor Keating, to come to this, to manage this agency that I'm director of a state agency here in Oklahoma. And that really hadn't been on my radar screen. But I don't take things like that lightly. If I'm asked to consider something, well, maybe the Lord is in this. And as I was seeking counsel from godly men, some of them that are here at this conference and other ways and through the Word of God, looking to see whether or not God, because it was a very contentious situation that I was coming into, and I needed a lot of help. And there was a verse that God gave me, and I want to tell you, I quote this verse just about every day as I walk into the Will Rogers building over here at the state capitol, and it's Deuteronomy 31:8. And it says, and the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And I want to tell you, for the last 9 years, I feel like I have been behind a big bulldozer that's gone through some very difficult situations. And the Lord just smooths it out. And I just, and the people have come, boy, you've done such a great job and you've done blah, blah, blah. Believe me, I know where that came from. It was the Lord, and I give Him all the credit and all the glory. You all may be familiar with this, about how may I get to know the Bible. And I'll just share with you just briefly just the hand illustration. You've never seen this before, but the objective being to get a grasp on the Word of God. If any who has not seen or before the hand illustration? Any of you here? Okay, good. I'll do it for you. All right. But getting a grasp upon the Word of God. You know, we have different ways of intake as far as the Word is concerned. And one of them is to hear. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Now, let me ask you something. After you've heard something, let's just take this. Pastor, I hate to do this for a sermon, but let's get real here, okay? After 24 hours, how much do you suppose your parishioners retain of what you preach to them on Sunday morning?
On Sunday morning?
Yeah. How about Monday morning? How much of it do you think that, what percentage of it do you think they retain?
Probably less than 5%.
Yeah, that's probably right. Isn't that something? You put all that time and effort into that.
Well, I don't even remember. That's
But you know, if you're trying to get a grasp on the Word of God, and 5%, if all you're doing is hearing it, you know, you're not really getting a hold of it too good, are you? Well, another way is reading, Revelation 1:3. Blessed are they that hear, and they that read the word of this prophecy, Revelation 1:3. Well, you know, hearing, reading, and probably if you're average, maybe 15-20%. Is what you'd retain after 24 hours. Well, we'll go on a little bit further. We'll talk about study. 2 Timothy 2:15. And you know, study, that's work. Pencil and paper and references and literally scouring the scriptures, trying to dig into the depths of whatever that passage might be. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, after you've studied something, you know, the experts say probably 35 to 50% might be about what you'd retain. How are we doing so far? You're not getting much of a grasp on this big old Scofield Bible here, are you?
I still get you an F on any test if you only remember 35.
Well done. That's exactly right. And I had plenty of those, let me tell you. That's right. Well, we've got this other finger here. We need to use it. And what do you suppose that represents? To memorize. Psalm 119, 9 and 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, after you've memorized something, truly memorized it, how much will you retain after 24 hours?
100%.
You sure would. That's right. You've got... So here, especially now, if we're going to read, or hear, read, study, and to memorize, we're doing pretty good. But we've got this thumb. And this is where the key, this is what gets it from here to here. And that's meditation. Psalm 1, 2, and 3 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper if he meditates. You know, this meditation, I understand that the word is, it's similar to like rumination. Who knows what rumination is?
What cow?
I know you do. What's a cow do?
She sits there and brings it back up and chews on it.
Yeah.
It's every last bit of nourishment.
Absolutely. And it becomes blood, literally. It becomes, it's the life, it's the life source, you know, that... And that's what the Word of God will do if we bring it up, chew on it, take it back down. It's also to study something intently. It would be just like if you were looking at a precious gem, a diamond, let's say, and studying every facet of it under the light, looking at it in every way possible. So, you know, hear, read, study, memorize, and then to meditate. We've got a complete grasp on the Word here. Not saying that Scripture memory is the best way. I'm saying it's the quickest way. But even if you're just memorizing and meditating, you've still got a pretty good grasp upon the Scriptures. Thousands of people testify that memory work pays the greatest dividends for the time invested of anything they have ever done. It is the fastest and most effective way to become equipped for instant use of the Word of God. I would just show you something here, too, that when we talk about memorizing, it could be looked at this way. And let's just say that we have forgetting. And we have, let's say, memorize. And basically what it would be something like this. That as you review, your times of forgetting will become less and less, and your times of remembering would be more and more until you have it memorized. And the key to doing that is what's on the next page. The three secrets to memorizing Scripture. Now, are you all ready for this? The three secrets. Okay, here's the first one. Review. Write that down. And the second one, review. And the third one is review. I remember a Spanish couple that we had in our Memorize the Word class down in Duncan. And Chito Contreras. And I'd say, what's the secret to memorizing Scripture? And he'd say, practica, practica, practica. Practice. You know, it's review. And that's what it is. If you understand from the beginning that memorization is essentially review, the battle is half won. A verse of Scripture is not fixed in the memory until it has been periodically and regularly reviewed over an extended period of time. Scripture memory will also be a battlefield. If you haven't experienced that, or if you haven't experienced spiritual warfare, you will when you start getting serious about hiding God's Word in your heart. Satan will see to that. He will do everything in his power to keep you from hiding God's Word in your heart. But what does James 4, 7, and 8 say? Who knows that? Submit therefore to God.
It's the devil.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's exactly right. He will run away. So don't let him keep you from it. Okay, before we get on to this, I want to, at this point, have just a little bit of a workshop time. So if you all would, with your Bibles, why don't you look up Ezra 7:10. Ezra 7:10. And since this is a scripture memory workshop, if you haven't memorized this already, I want to ask you to memorize it. We'll try to see if we can do it right here in this time. And I'll give you some secrets on how to do that in just a minute. Okay. Have you found it? Ezra 7:10? What versions do we have here? What do you all... NIV? Most of them NIV? American Standard. Okay. Okay. All right. Why don't you read it out of NIV? What does it say?
For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching his decrees and laws in Israel.
Okay. Okay. What's another version? What do you have?
For Ezra. Oh, excuse me.
Please.
For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel.
That's King James, isn't it? Praise the Lord. King James is good enough for the Apostle Paul. It's good enough for me. What?
Yes. As for Ezra, it set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances.
Very good. Very good. Now, here is the way that I would memorize that verse. Now, forgive me, since I've done it in the original, the King James. But is to always memorize the verse with the reference before and after the verse. And I will tell you something. A while ago, the first verse I started to quote here, 2 Peter 3:9, I just went blank for a moment, and that will happen. But I want to tell you, in practicing that way, that you will, if you can say the reference or you see the reference, you'll find yourself just immediately going on. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. But just by saying the reference, you know, it will help you get a handle on the verse. That's a very practical thing that will help you to get started on it. Now, if I was going to memorize Ezra 7:10, is I would like for us to take just a few minutes here and just see how far you could go with this. Because then I want you to consider an application of that verse after you've memorized it. I would say it like this. Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had prepared his heart. Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had prepared his heart. Ezra 7. I'm going to tell you, folks, I don't do this by mental pictures or anything. It is pure, absolute rote in my particular case. Now, some of you may be more creative and you can visualize and do these things. And I know folks that can do that. But I'm just telling you something that's just, this is just rote, and it's hard work. But it's more than worth it if you'll devote yourself to it. Ezra 7:10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And I like this. And to do it. Ezra, see what I'm saying? All the way through. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra 7:10. And no matter how many verses you're quoting, if you're reviewing whatever you're doing, that say always say the reference at the beginning and at the end of the verse. That's a very fundamental key. And we'll talk about that some more. Now we go until 2:15. So I have about 12 minutes until 2. And let's just spend some time right now on memorizing Ezra 7:10. Why don't you just to yourself, or if you want to get off in the corner or step out in the hall or whatever, why don't you memorize Ezra 7:10, and we'll have some of you quoted here just a little bit. So let's take about 10 minutes to do that. Very, very good. Very good. let me just remind you of a middle paragraph that I have here on the second page. A verse of Scripture is not fixed in the memory until it has been periodically and regularly reviewed over an extended period of time. Now, what I would suggest is, if you want to keep this verse, that you review it tomorrow and the next day and the next day, at least once, preferably many more times during the day. And the thing about it is, you know, you can memorize Scripture using time that would normally go wasted. It so happens, in my particular case, that most of the Scripture memory I've done has been while driving a car. And I'm sure that there are people that regret that terribly. So who's this guy talking to himself that nearly ran me off the road? But that, for me, is time that would normally go wasted. If I can just reach over and turn that radio off and then, you know, review and keep up with my verses that way. I know of women that have different things perhaps in their day, like at home as they're putting on their makeup, or in some cases working at the sink or doing dishes or whatever, that they have been able to use that time. That's redeeming the time that would normally just be lost or would be wasted. So just ask the Lord to help you find some way to fit it into your schedule, and I'm sure He'll help you do that. Now, on nothing scientific about this, but generally speaking, if you will review a verse every day for about 12 weeks, every day, and I want to make it a part of every day. That's the key. You start getting 4 days a week, 3 days a week, whatever, you're on a slippery slope. But every day, make it a part of your schedule to review those verses. Now, let's just assume here that you're going to memorize one verse a week for the rest of your life. Well, think about that. That's 52 verses a year, you know, so forth. But one little verse a week. Okay. And you memorize this first verse, Ezra 7:10, and you review it for 12 weeks. But now, next week, you pick up another verse. So you're reviewing that verse in Ezra 7:10. And then the next week you'd pick up another one and so forth. So at the end of 12 weeks, then you've reviewed, and believe me, Ezra 7:10 and meditating on it and seeking to apply it and get it into your heart, get it into your life. It will start to affect your life. Like I told you, that pastor that said, these 12 little old verses of Scripture in my heart have done more to affect my life than all of the other great and wonderful things that he had done. At the end of 12 weeks, then have some place, have another box or something, you can figure it out, that you start a weekly review file. So Ezra 7:10 goes into, at your 13th week, that's the first one that goes in your weeklies. So now you're reviewing 12 verses, and then at the end of the week, then you come back and you review Ezra 7:10. You see? And then at the end of the next week, you take another one. You memorize a verse. You pull one out of there. You're still reviewing 12 a day. And believe me, that doesn't take any time. And you see what I'm saying? You build up a weekly review. Now, again, this isn't rocket science. But and fit it to your own makeup. But at the end of, let's say, a couple of years, just think, you know, you've memorized by that time about 100 verses or so, and you're still just reviewing 12 a day, plus weekly, you know, you're doing the weekly verses that you've picked up. It takes a little bit longer to do that. But then you can start moving them from the weekly over to a monthly. I'll tell you what, there are verses today that I, in my schedule, that I may not review, but maybe once every 6 months or so. It's just they're so deep into my heart and into my mind that I don't need to review them any more often than that. And I want to tell you, it is amazing how God has wired the mind. It is incredible how much you can systematically put away in there It's just a powerful thing. But it's just a little bit of discipline applied every day can have enormous impact. Any questions about that particular schedule or scheme as far as, like I say, this isn't rocket science.
Yeah. No, that's not counting the time when you're just reviewing it, maybe during the week in a class or teaching, whatever you may find yourself, that you actually use it.
So oh, absolutely.
Not only the memorization and redoing it time and time again, but usage, and I would assume because, you know, what you've been doing this for so many years, usage is another thing that allows you to retain it so deeply.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you'll find, too, that the verses that really that speak to an issue in your heart and in your mind. For example, there are courses that I have memorized. For example, I have this. These are things that are available down here at the Book Nook. And let's say that like this is the topical memory system. There's 60 verses of Scripture here. Very well chosen. Very, very powerful. Excellent course. But there are some courses, there are things that I've gone through, that verses that I've memorized, that I still can quote them, but they haven't just worked into my life like some others have. Now, later on, for example, verses that have come out of my quiet time, out of Bible study, through issues that I've gone through in my life, weaknesses that I've had to deal with, and so forth, those really have a foothold in my heart. I want to tell you, I hope I can find this. I have kept quotes and things along the way that have really, I want to share one with you. Lord, let me find this real quick. This was so profound. This was so profound. I know where it is on the page. These aren't numbered, so. I wish I could find that. This is it. This was a lady that was in a scripture memory class that I led back in 1979. And this is what she said, and I've never heard this anywhere before. She says, "If I am puzzled by a passage of scripture, it is because I have not yet been in circumstances which cause me to ask the question being answered. If I hang on to the answer, hang on to the verse, it will be there when the question arises. There are no unanswered questions in God's Word, but there are many unquestioned answers." Isn't that powerful?
Yeah, yes.
That's why I say, so, you know, if it's a part of the course, memorize it anyway. You know, it'll be there when you need it. That's something. So, if you're looking for a place to start, I would suggest right here. And these are available down here at the Book Nook. This is called Beginning with Christ. And there are five key verses that every believer needs to know. Five key promises that you'll have. For example, one of the first things that Satan would try to do to a new believer is to discourage him regarding whether or not he'd really become a Christian, regarding his assurance of salvation. Well, 1 John 5:11 and 12 is the first assurance of salvation. And then there's assurance of victory, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Assurance of provision that God will provide. Let's see, I'm on that, John 16:24. And then answer prayer is John 16:24. I'm sorry. Assurance of forgiveness, 1 John 1:9. And assurance of guidance, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you're looking for a place to start, you know, and this is just real handy, just nice little card sizes here that you can carry with you. And review them. If you know, do them all in one day, or do them one a week. You know, but do it. The other here, this is on growing in Christ. It would just follow right on to that. Verses on or put Christ first, His strength, the Word, on love, on giving, the church, good works, and witnessing. And so then you can work into something like the topical memory system. But I would ask you to also consider that have a place either in the back of your Bible or in your notebook or something where that you can jot down. When you hear someone share a verse that has a particular, really grips your heart, write that down and save it to memorize later. They also have this down here at the book nook. They have these little verse packs that you can get. Has a nice little plastic pocket here. This is for the verse that you're memorizing. And you could also have these in here for your daily review and then even your weekly review. You could use it that way as well. They have blank verse cards that are available down there for you that you can use it all. So it's not for lack of equipment. It's just like the Nike commercial says, just do it. Just do it. So with the final 5 minutes or so, I'd like to ask you all to do this. On Ezra 7:10, if you would please write down, what does that verse say that you should be? What should I, put it in first person, what should I be, think, or do? And then secondly, what is my life now in that regard? And then third, what I intend to do about it. And let's spend about 5 minutes on that, and we'll have a few of you share, and then we'll close in prayer. Okay, let's why don't you share what you have with us. Anybody over here, everything you'd like to share? What's your application of Ezra 7:10? Anyone? Yes, sir.
I said, I am to be observant and study. I am to think about ways to teach the principles that have been revealed to me by the Scriptures. I am to do what the law says and teach. I see in my own life that I am not integrating the revelational knowledge I get from my quiet times. I don't apply it. I said, I will make it a point to tell one of my friends a law that has been revealed to me in Scripture. And I have a list of people: Todd, Michael, Casey, Dave, Wick.
Okay, thank you. Especially Wick, yeah. Someone else?
Be devoted, know the law, teach the law to the people, practice, 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 mm-hmm. Share, share, share.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I asked myself a question, but then I'm going to break it down to other people after I devote myself to study, and I'm going to be able to break it down and not just be able to quote it to them, but to break it down and actually understand what it means.
Amen.
Because you read Ezra 7:10, and you know, someone that may have never really got into the word much, not grasped that.
Exactly. Exactly. You bet. You know, and that's a good point, too, is it? And of course, we come at this pretty fast in this workshop, but don't let anyone ever accuse you, rightfully, of taking something out of context. Always, always look to see the context and make sure that what we're quoting is accurate. That could destroy your credibility quicker than anything, and it's wrong to boot. Yes, ma'am.
Can I comment just real quick? You mentioned about finding time in your day to memorize Scripture. Some people do when they're doing makeup or not. Well, I take a dry erase marker and I write a verse in my bathroom mirror that I change it each week. And it's a really good technique because you can't but help see it when you get out of the shower and start brushing your teeth.
Amen. That's good. That's good.
My daughter's always writing verses all over the refrigerator, mirrors.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that's right. You know, one other thing, and I'll close with this, is that I would suggest, too, that at the very minimum that you do it two by two, that you do it with another person, to where that you can hold each other accountable, that you get together on a regular basis, preferably weekly, let's say, and that you share your verses, and that you make a commitment that we're going to go so far, and that we support one another in accomplishing that. Well, God bless you, and I hope and pray that this is the beginning of a whole new journey for you with God's Word.
Thank you.
Thank you.